This is the Adam Gold Show.
Earlier in the year, where Adam was named the Sports Broadcaster of the Year, well deserved, in all the years that Adam has been here. But it's not lost on me that Adam finally won this award when he got rid of me. That's all it took. Had Adam known that, like, I was dragging his ass down, he could have won so many. Think of all the awards he could have won.
Oh, I knew. Just humble like that. Didn't want those awards. It's Joe Ovius from the OG on 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh, where you can listen to us right now, and you might be. I mean, chances are. But I appreciate the shout-out Monday. And it's probably just a coincidence, to be perfectly honest. It's the Adam Gold Show. I don't know. We have a lot of things to do today, and we have somebody new doing it with us. Graham Hill sitting in for Dennis Cox.
Adam Gold, the man, the myth, the legend. No. I'm very honored to be sitting in the captain's chair. Hopefully I've learned a lot from Dennis. I'm sure I have, but we'll see in these next 3 hours.
Oh, we're going to find out. First of all, is Graham Hill your real name?
It is.
There's no way.
It is not named after the famous British race car driver.
You say Graham Hill. It does sound British.
That is very. I get that a lot, though.
Are you a G R A H A M Graham or a G R A E M E Graham?
I'm glad you asked that because I want to go ahead and clarify this. This is the golden question I get asked a lot, and 9 times out of 10, it gets written off.
Do you really get asked this a lot?
Yes. How do I spell it? It is G R A H A M.
Right.
Like the former Carolina Hurricanes player. Who am I thinking of?
Don't know.
I have to Google it.
Off the top of my head, I can't think of a Graham. I'm sure they had. John Graham, the goalie you're talking about?
I think so.
Actually, there was an E on the end of Graham's name.
There was?
Yeah.
Off to a bad start already. We're 0-1 on today for our Canes knowledge, but we'll settle in.
All right, so... I was just curious because it does sound like a British name. It does sound to me like somebody who played like 19 years as a striker for Sheffield United and played like in the 60s, and you're like ninth all time for the Blades in goals.
Sure.
So that's who it sounds like for me. If anybody else wants to contribute to that stupidity, you're a snooker player. You're a spin bowler in cricket. Graham Hill sounds like a spin bowler in cricket. You just come in and you throw, junk balls for like 2 wickets. You try to get Brian Lara out from the West Indies. Good luck with that. Welcome. I hope everything goes well. I can't help you if it does, if it doesn't, but for some ridiculous reason, Joe Ovius is in that studio.
He's babysitting me, as he told me.
Is he holding your hand?
He's not cuddling me yet, but that's only if I start crying.
He will not.
But right now,
you.
He says he wants to roll as associate producer. So we'll go with
I'm
that.
I'm dying. All right, now there's a lot of pressure on me. I could fool you, Graham.
A lot of pressure on you.
Yeah, no, look, I could fool you. This show could suck today. I could fool you. You won't know the difference, right? But Joe will know. Joe, I have to be on my game today.
I almost feel like I'm the MC of a reunion here.
So, it's whatever. It is what it is. All right, we got a lot of things to do. We're on TV. I always like to tell people that. If you're in your car and you go, my gosh, I'd like to see what this thing looks like. You can find us if you're in Raleigh. You can get us on Spectrum at 1257, the antenna 34.1. And then again, just download the app if you have a Fire, Roku, Android, or Apple TV. It's WRAL Sports Plus. It's all very exciting. And you get to see me in my Durham Bulls shirt. Are you ready to start? Should we pretend we know what we're doing?
Let's do it.
All right. All right, I want to get the bad stuff out of the way, if we could. Miles Bridges rising star with the Charlotte Hornets, leading scorer from a year ago, more than 20 points a game. Potential free agent loss. He's a restricted free agent. Hornets gave him a qualifying offer the other day. Hornets would have a right to match. But yesterday, arrested on felony domestic violence charges spanning from a Tuesday night incident in Los Angeles. So, nothing good about this. Altercation with his girlfriend, fled the scene. She needed medical attention, turned himself in yesterday, and was arrested again. This is not misdemeanor domestic violence. This is felony domestic violence. So this is just an ugly story, start to finish. Hornets released a statement today saying that they're aware of what happened. They have no comment. They're still nobody knows all the details. But again, arrested, felony domestic violence. All right, so here's, as I'm reading the story, here's what I don't understand. And I'm just going to throw this out there because I need to know why it's part of the story as I'm reading it on ESPN.com. And I think this is just probably a wire report. But let me just confirm that it's a wire. It's ESPN News Services, so it's either an ESPN created story or it's in, you know, other wire services. But why is it part of the story that Bridges is also a rapper who goes by the name RTBMB? Why is it pertinent to the story that he's a rapper?
As someone who's a part of the younger generation, being 23 years old, I did not know that.
Okay. So maybe he's not a good rapper.
I was just about to say, maybe he doesn't have a good career.
So, but my question is, why is it part of the story? And I think I know the answer to that. I don't know that I'm right, but I'm just going to say, oh, man, here's a way to explain why he's caught up in domestic violence. He's a rapper. And don't all rap. This is such blatant, ugly, racist code. It's just, I just don't understand why this is part of the story.
I don't either. I mean, being that we are in North Carolina, obviously I'm going to resort to J. Cole from Fayetteville. He does a lot of good.
Does a lot of great.
Yeah, does a lot of great stuff. He even gave back to, I think he helped build that Dennis Smith Jr. court, or at least gave some sort of money to build that park in Fayetteville.
Oh, okay, yeah. Look, also, Wonder Mike.
Sure.
Did Wonder Mike ever get caught up in this? No? Greatest rapper of all time? From Rapper's Delight. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
I don't.
Graham,
I'm going to be honest.
You have no clue what I'm talking about. Did Master G ever do anything like this? No?
I like that name, though. I might have to incorporate that as a new nickname.
Master G?
Master G.
You could. It's been used. Anyway, I'm reading the story going, why is it in here? Why is this in here? Other than, oh, now we have a reason. It's sad that part. The story is sad, and then you go and you throw in that obvious code. All right, let's get to some other news, and we have no idea what the end game here is with Miles Bridges. My guess is if he's not incarcerated, he'll be with the Hornets next year. Too good a player. NBA free agency did start off with a bang. We had opt-outs. We had opt-ins. We had trades. There will be more. The opt-ins we hit yesterday. Russell Westbrook wasn't giving back $47.1 million. No chance. Kyrie Irving knows that there's no appetite for him at roughly $36 million for 1 year. And Brian Windhorst is still beating the Kyrie to L.A. drum. This is where, Graham, we're off to a great start. This is where you'll play the Brian Windhorst clip of Don't Rule Out a Kyrie-LeBron Reunion. Right there.
there's people in this league, agents, executives, believe that the talks with the Lakers could be restarted. And so you say, well, how can they possibly get him? Why would the Nets ever consider taking Russell Westbrook for Kyrie Irving? Why would the Lakers consider paying draft picks? And the reason is because in a potential trade like this, the Lakers would save $11 million in actual salary and potentially up to $30 million when you include the luxury tax. So right there is enough as a reason to include potentially a first-round pick in the deal. And if this were to happen in the offseason, the Lakers would potentially be able to have some more flexibility with other salaries.
Like, okay. I'm not even sure that LeBron James wants the headache of Kyrie Irving. Maybe he does. Maybe if LeBron believes that Kyrie is the only way that they are going to have a chance to win, then he could do that. But I just don't see the Lakers. I don't see the Nets taking Russell Westbrook in a sign and trade. Maybe you'd have to get another team involved. Do not know. All right, to the outs. And I feel like we're discussing belly buttons here. We have innies and we have outies. James Harden had $47.3 million headed his way, and he has decided to opt out. Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN on what this means for Harden.
He can now negotiate a new deal with the Sixers, and by opting out and doing a new deal, he gives the Sixers a real opportunity to improve their roster. It allows them to use the $10.5 million mid-level exception, the $4 million biannual exception, and they can also get involved in some sign and trades. And I know in his conversations with the team, that was really important. How can we get this team better? How can we improve our supporting cast? And listen, I think in James Harden, too, he can do a deal now going forward, you know, certainly make back that $47 million and more, and they'll have an opportunity starting Thursday at 6 p.m.
It's certainly good when Daryl Morey is the GM of the Sixers, because Daryl Morey loves him some James Harden, even though what we saw from James Harden in the at the end of the regular season and into the playoffs was not worth $47.3 million. Anyway, Jay Williams from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio on how Harden can flip the narrative about Harden.
Now we're seeing him turn down money to get PJ Tucker. He's working out. I truly do believe this is going to be the year that we're going to start talking about James Harden a little bit differently, about how he is becoming one of the leaders of this team. And it starts with him turning down the option to opt into his deal.
Well, we'll see what the total price tag is on that option turndown. But, I mean, if he's taking a lot less money to bring in players that can help the Sixers win, hey, more power to him. That would be awesome. Another opt-out, Bradley Beal opted out with the Wizards. Now, this might not actually be a good thing for the Wizards. Typically, when guys opt out, they opt in or opt out to sign bigger contracts with their current team. It might not work that way with Bradley Beal. Ben Dowsett from ESPN was on the radio with Freddie and Fitzsimmons last night and actually was talking about Bradley Beal going elsewhere.
It really depends on, a team having enough room to absorb him or having the ability to make a trade, which when you look just right now at who's got the amount of money it would take to sign Bradley Beal outright, there actually aren't very many candidates. It's more about looking at teams that you think might be able to move some salary to do that. Could a team like Memphis, who has always looked for improvements on their wings, they've obviously got the guard spot sewn up, they've got the big spot sewn up with Jaren Jackson, would they be able to move enough salary to look at signing a player like him? He's someone who I think they could have interest in.
Man, that's who the Lakers should go after in a sign and trade. That's who the Lakers should try to get in a sign and trade. Look, there are certain teams in the NBA that really are, it seems like, in a constant state of rebuild. I'm not sure Washington isn't one of them. I don't know if they're going to be able to retain their star. We had a trade made yesterday. DeJounte Murray All-star point guard from the San Antonio Spurs, shipped to the Atlanta Hawks for 3 first-round picks. Former Hornets star Kemba Walker was just traded from the Knicks to the Pistons on draft night. He was bought out by Detroit and is now a free agent. We will discuss all of these things with our friend Brendan Whitted from the League Pass Lair coming up in about 1 hour. We have all sorts of golf today. John Deere Classic in Illinois. No, not near Chicago. It's actually kind of, it's right on the Illinois-Iowa border. It's out in the humid hinterlands of northwestern Illinois and southwestern Ohio. But a North Carolina native, JT Poston, is in the lead, 8 under par through 13 holes. Friend of the program, Chesson Hadley, is tied for 8th at -3. I only say that because he's a friend and we're rooting for Chesson Hadley. But this is the... There are two PGA Tour events before we get to the Open Championship. The other golf event is the LIV Series in Portland at Pumpkin Ridge. Trivia question. Who is the greatest winner ever at a major event at Pumpkin Ridge? I'll ask you this, Graham Hill.
See, this be a question for my dad because he's the golf expert of the family.
Why isn't it you should get your dad on the phone? No, don't do that. Actually, the answer is also written in the document. Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods won his third U.S. Amateur at Pumpkin Ridge in 1996. So there are highlights with Woods as an amateur rolling in a very long birdie putt on the 17th hole. Second to last hole of his final match with a guy named Steve Scott, who played at the University of Florida and is now a teaching professional somewhere, where Woods needed to make it just to stay alive. I mean, he made a long putt, and the rest is history. Woods turned pro 3 days later.
I should have known that when it comes to golf trivia questions, the go-to answer is always either Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson.
No, the answer is probably Tiger Woods. The answer is probably Tiger Woods or maybe Jack Nicklaus. That would be the second one. So I just thought I would throw that out. That's where the LIV series is playing. A couple of things happened in the last few days. PGA Tour now owns, for lack of a better term, 40% of the European Tour. It was 15% based on a deal they made during this offseason, but it is now 40%. Here's PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan on this new, we're calling it an alliance.
You look at the likes of Rory and Justin Thomas and John Rahm and Scottie Scheffler and Sam Burns and so many others, and I'm reluctant to name more because the list is so long. But the reality is that the best players in the world want to compete for history. They want to compete for trophies with meanings. They want to compete. They want to create their own moments. They want to create moments that they've seen that preceded them. And those moments are abundant on the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour. And so for us, it comes back to what are you doing to make certain for your entire membership, but certainly for the best players in the world, you're giving them the opportunity to prepare to compete, succeed at the highest level. And the PGA Tour, DP World Tour together is to me the single best pathway that we have now and in the future when you go back to those themes, because those are the themes that have always mattered in the game of golf.
Look, this is a double-edged thing. It's clear that the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour, which is really the European Tour, that they are doing this to kind of keep LIV at bay. They cannot compete with the money that is being offered at LIV. Can't. No chance. So what this is essentially to close off LIV players from access to world rankings points and whatnot, but which will probably take a minimum of a year, maybe as long as 2 years for them to qualify, and they may have to modify their tour. But ultimately, it's about survival. But what this deal does is that it guarantees that the European Tour, which it sort of has been for years anyway, is a feeder tour to the PGA Tour. Think about it this way. We've got Major League Baseball. The European Tour is AAA baseball. And now the Corn Ferry Tour, which is the feeder tour in the United States, is AA baseball. AA baseball is really where all the prospects are. But the European Tour has a few. There are still some teams that stash their prospects at AAA, and that's what the European Tour is. That's now in plain sight for everybody to see. One other golf thing to mention before I move on. Zach Johnson is the captain of the Ryder Cup team, and the Ryder Cup is scheduled for next September in Italy. And he was asked, because he's playing in this John Deere event, he was asked about the implications, the fallout from so many of these American players going to play at LIV. And he said this as it pertains to entrance onto a Ryder Cup team. It says, what I know is this, in order to play on the Ryder Cup team, whether you're a top six pick or a captain's pick, you must earn Ryder Cup points through the PGA of America. In order to earn Ryder Cup points through the PGA of America, you have to be a member of the PGA of America. The way that we, tour professionals, are members of the PGA of America is through the PGA Tour. And he says, I'll let you connect the dots from there. The players who have relinquished tour membership or been banned from the tour are not members. So, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau, Patrick Reed, not going to play in the Ryder Cup. And it's even more of an issue for the President's Cup team because that is a wholly run operation by the PGA Tour, and none of those players can play in a PGA Tour event. And that goes for international players like Louis Oosthuizen and Abe Anser and Charles Schwartzel or Brandon Grace or any of the international players who might play on that tour. There might be more. So we have the President's Cup at Quail Hollow in Charlotte coming up in a few months, and their field is going to look dramatically different than it would had LIV not siphoned off a fair amount of the top 50 in the world. All right, more country club sports real quick. Tuesday was both a great day and a sad day at Wimbledon. Great because Serena Williams was on the court. She's making a return from injury. She was injured at Wimbledon in the first round a year ago. She hurt her Achilles. She had surgery, trying to come back. This was her first singles match in a year, and she lost in three sets to Harmony Tan, third set tiebreaker. So after the inevitable, are you done questions came out.
Yeah, it was really tough. I mean, I had some chances to win that first set and, you know, didn't work out. So, yeah, it was just a different, totally different for me.
Do you think it's more likely than not, and I can hear what you're saying already, but do you think it's more likely than not that you won't come back? Would that be your last singles match, do you think?
That's a question I can't answer. Like, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. Who knows where I'll pop up.
She might not play singles anymore at Wimbledon. I bet she comes back and plays doubles. She'll be 41 in September. I wonder if people can fathom how amazing it is for a female athlete to still be, she's not what she used to be. But if she were healthy, she could win Wimbledon. She's going to be 41 in September. 23 Grand Slam singles titles, 14 more in doubles, 2 in mixed, 39 total. That's second all-time, tied with Billie Jean King. Martina Navratilova, I looked this up. This is just a staggering number. Martina Navratilova has the all-time record of 59 Grand Slam titles in singles, doubles, and mixed doubles. Amazing stuff. Somebody who is half Serena Williams' age will join us next. A future star, likely, with the Carolina Hurricanes, and a Calder Cup champion, Jack Drury, future center for the Hurricanes, will join us next. So the Carolina Hurricanes season ended earlier than everybody would have liked. Second round game 7 loss to the New York Rangers. And the Chicago Wolves decided, you know what? We'll win a championship. 4 years ago in 19, the Hurricanes season ended in the conference finals against Boston. Yet then the Charlotte Checkers went on to win the Calder Cup. So the Hurricanes in the last 4 years have now won 2 Calder Cups in the American Hockey League. Jack Drury, who had just a brief stint with the Hurricanes this year, but we loved all two games of it, scored 9 goals in 18 playoff games with the Wolves, and he's with us on the Adam Gold Show. First of all, congratulations on the championship. I assume you're still celebrating.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think guys just started to leave yesterday, so the celebration's kind of ending right now, and now I got to start to get back into the summer training schedule.
Wait, you guys just won like 3 days ago. What do you mean? Are you trying to impress Rod Brind'Amour?
No, with the COVID break, we finished pretty late, but we had a fun couple days as a group, and it was a really special team.
There are some prospects there, but you guys also had a bunch of veterans. Some guys we saw with the Hurricanes this year. I know Josh Lavo had a monster postseason. He scored like he was like Connor McDavid. So what was that veteran influence like for you guys?
It was huge. I think we had a good core of older guys that have played a lot in the National Hockey League and have a lot of playoff experience. And I think all those guys kind of showed the right culture throughout the year, and going into the playoffs, they delivered all the right messages to the young guys and had everyone on the same page.
Jack Drury is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. What do you remember most about your 2-game stint with the Hurricanes this year, which was impressive for a lot of reasons, not the least of which was 2 goals?
Oh, it was an absolute blast. I think the fans were incredible. After my first game, I was getting interviewed on the bench. I could barely hear the questions I was being asked. And, I remember for a moment thinking, wow, this is once in a lifetime and really special. So I think just how great the fans were and getting to experience that.
How do we make it not once in a lifetime? How do we make that a regular thing?
Oh, I think just a lot of hard work. I think I got to stay day by day, stay present one day at a time, just try to get a little bit better.
Jack Drury is with us. I think we all remember that first game, I think, was against the Red Wings, if I'm not mistaken. You guys had like 5 players available because of COVID and salary cap issues. There was a lot of room on the bench.
Yeah, it was against the Red Wings. It was pretty interesting. But I think, all the guys handled it really well. We had a couple guys from Chicago come up, and the guys in the locker room in Carolina were welcoming and made it easy on us. And I think it was easy for everyone to do their jobs.
Well, what were they going to do, man? They needed all you guys. Otherwise, they would have had a forfeit.
Yeah, I mean, it was a weird situation, but it ended up working out well.
Did you feel like you belonged at that point?
Yeah, I think, everyone wants to play in the NHL, and that's the goal. But like I said, for a young guy like myself, and I think any of the guys in Chicago, we know we got to just go day by day and try to get a little bit better. And whether you're playing up in Carolina or down in Chicago, you got to just approach it the same way and try to get your game to the best spot it can be.
You have had an interesting journey the last few years. Obviously, you were playing incredibly well at Harvard. Then COVID hits. Ivy League sports went away. You had to make a decision. So kind of walk me through the decision to go play professionally in Sweden to where we are now.
Yeah, I think, it's a bit of a bummer when the Ivy League season got canceled. I really enjoyed getting to play at Harvard, but, I knew I had to play hockey for the season, and the AHL season was a little bit uncertain with how many games they would be playing and mm-hmm. what would be happening there. And, I'd lived in Germany as a kid. My dad played overseas, and I felt comfortable going to Europe. And that Swedish league over there, it's a really good league, a lot of really good young players, one of the top leagues in Europe. And I was fortunate that a really good organization wanted me to be there, and worked out really well.
It absolutely did. What did you learn from playing? You know, the Swedish league is a great league. What did you learn from playing there?
I think it helped my skating a lot. They play on a little bit bigger ice surface over mm-hmm. there, so there's a lot more focus on kind of speed and stamina with the skating, which is really valuable for me. And then I think my team over there went on a long playoff run too, so I learned a lot from the veterans there on kind of how to handle a long playoff in a professional season and bring your best day in and day out.
Jack Drury is joining us. For people who might recognize the name, you know, your dad played, but also your uncle, Chris Drury, played with a lot of people here. We'll remember him with the Buffalo Sabres, but is now the GM of the New York Rangers. What did you learn about being a pro from your uncle, from your dad?
Yeah, I think both of them helped me out a lot. I think, first of all, just kind of developing a love for the game, getting to go to their games as a kid, being around locker rooms and watching them play. I think that kind of gives you a special connection to hockey and provides you with a lot of motivation to try to get to the highest level. And I think both of them and my mom have just helped me out a lot with kind of the mental side of the game, staying mentally tough, handling the ups and downs in your career, and kind of using them all to your advantage to be the best you can.
Does your uncle talk more about his hockey career or his career as a Little League pitcher in the Little League World Series?
Yeah, that gets brought up a lot. I think their town was a big baseball town growing up in Connecticut, so him and my dad both still love baseball, I think, just as much as hockey.
Because I saw your uncle. I watched that Little League World Series. Back in the day, there was only the one game. We didn't have 4,000 Little League baseball games on TV, which is going to hit in about a month here. So we only had the title game and the big curly-haired kid from Trumbull, Connecticut, who knew he would go on to be such a good NHL player. Are there is there like Little League memorabilia in his house?
Yeah, I think he's got some. I think mostly when we're over there, we're all just trying to look at all the hockey memorabilia because he's got some cool stuff from Colorado and Buffalo, but I'm sure he's got some good Little League stuff too.
I mean, to be the guy in a Little League World Series champion, I just don't know how it gets any better than that. Jack Drury is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. A couple of more things and then we'll let you go. As you sit, you know, we're 2 months away, 2.5 months away from it getting really serious here. What are your thoughts about the upcoming season?
Yeah, I think, you know, right now I just coming off a long season and a long playoff run, I think just got to get my body back in the best shape I can, you know, lift a lot of weights, eat a lot of good food, and try to put on as much strength as I can. And then, you know, once it gets closer to August, start getting on the ice a lot more and start preparing a little bit more skating. But right now the focus is just kind of working out as much as I can, put on as much muscle as I can, and get my body in the best shape it can be in.
So how much muscle? I mean, according to what I see, I've got you at about 175 pounds. What do you think your weight is going to be?
Yeah, I've been 185 for a few years
okay.
now. I think they got the old weights. But, you know, I think maybe it's hard. I think, you know, I'd like to gain, you know, 5 to 10 pounds maybe. You know, the game's a lot faster nowadays, so you got to keep speed in mind and not sacrifice too much speed. But I'll talk to Billy Bernstein on the phone, the Carolina strength coach, you know, get his input and go from there.
Jack Drury, before we let you go, I mentioned, you know, obviously the two goals. I think it may be as impressive, if I have this correct, 15-1 in the faceoff circle?
Oh, I don't know exactly. I think I might have lost a few more than one, but, you know, they got a lot of good faceoff guys in Carolina, and, you know, Rowdy, obviously, in camp has shown a lot of the young centers some tips, and I think, you know, when you watch Jordan on TV, the way he does them, obviously Trocheck, Stepan, all the guys, Aho, they're also good at them. I think when you get in the circle, you know, you got to step up.
Oh yeah, there's no question. The just watching practice, the competition in practice, Brett Pesce feels like he's a good face-off guy too.
Yeah, I haven't talked to him. I didn't get to talk to him about that at all. Maybe I'll ask him for training camp.
All right, one final thing. I lied. Who down there, I mean, obviously, Pyotr Kochetkov had a great playoffs, and we know he's got all this potential. But who do you think you might drag up here with you? And I'm not trying to assume that, you know, we're rolling out the red carpet for Jack Drury. You're not doing that either. But who else down there you think has a chance to make this team?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Kochi, it's, I don't know, there's not many young goalies out there better than him. So I think, obviously, you know, I'm not in management and I'm not Rod. I'm not making the decisions. But Kochi's got a real bright future ahead of him. And I think all the young prospects in Chicago got a lot of things going for him. You look at Reeser, Ponomaranov, and Suzuki all had good, strong years. And I think they're all just going to keep getting better.
All right, well, we like to see the young guys. I look forward to seeing you. I know the you're going to be here for the prospect camp?
Yeah, I believe so. I think we got some meetings soon, so yep. We'll get some dates pretty soon here, hopefully.
Yeah, we've been told the dates, second week in July, so we'll see you then, Jack Drury. Congratulations on winning a cup, and we hope you win one here in a couple of years.
All right, well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
You got it. Jack Drury joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. He is one of the truly bright prospects that the Hurricanes have. They got a lot of good prospects. There's a hockey IQ element to Jack Drury that is really, really intriguing. Wes Durham is going to join us in a little bit.
This is the Adam Gold Show.